And we are back. Thank you for listening or watching, Davins. And I am your host, Davin, and I am joined by Joe Curry and Pip Helix, and of course, you. We certainly appreciate your company on this Tuesday, or not Tuesday. I don't know when you're listening. What do I know? For all I know, you're naked, covered in honey, and that's hot, too. All right. Let's do some School of Fools. We got a double header of School of Fools. I got so many School of Fools stories, like, ready to go. There is, like, so much nonsense going on in our schools. And then I have a story from each of my parents that I was going to do in segment one, but we ran out of time, that I will bring to the show in the near future when you think shit is batshit crazy in the schools today. You ain't heard nothing yet. So.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to hear those stories.
Little tease for you, boys and girls. Little tease. But we shall get to this week's occurrences. That's a better word.
A fool.
What can't you hear? You can't hear?
Oh, yeah, I couldn't hear you. Now I can hear you.
Because I wasn't talking, stupid.
Aren't you supposed to?
Well, no, I was playing the intro music, which if you guys were here, you would have heard. But the people who listen to the podcast and are listening on the internet radio show heard perfectly fine. And now they're wondering why I'm have to explain this shit. And I, as usual, it's because I work with nitwits. Now we'll move on. Somebody in my talent should be working with a different caliber of person. All right.
Yeah, but apparently there's no dog shows.
That's not a person, Joe. I see what you were going for, but dogs are not people, now are they? You can't go up to a person and say, whose tail is that? You can, but you'll get slapped. Right. Whose tail is that? I've never. Psh, I'm sorry. Yipe, yipe, yipe!
Doctor?
No, it's not a doctor. I'm practicing medicine. I have not perfected this shit.
I'm trying to
steal the car. Yeah. Listen, my wife is very happy with what I did today with the car. So that, I got that going for me. We might have to live in it soon. We might have to live in the car soon. But it's got plenty of cargo space, so it shan't be a problem.
At least it's comfy, and you fell asleep in the back, so you gotta go.
Sure. The seats recline. It's lovely. All right. According to the New York Times, last Tuesday, Jordan Herbert sent her sons Bentley, and Rodney Herbert, age 8 and 5, to school in matching Black Lives Matter shirts. Herbert said the boys were pulled from their classes at Charles Evans Elementary and Will Rogers Elementary as a result of wearing the shirts. Herbert says she had previously spoken to Kim Holland, the superintendent of the school district, about the shirts when the principal of Bentley School had told her to speak to him regarding the school's dress code. He told me that when the George Floyd case blew up, that politics would not be allowed at school, Herbert said on Friday, referring to Mr. Holland. I told him once again, a Black Lives Matter t-shirt is not politics. In an interview with the Daily Ardmore Right, Holland said, it's our interpretation of not creating a disturbance in school. I don't want my kids wearing MAGA hats or Trump shirts to school either, because it just creates in this emotionally charged environment anxiety and issues that I don't want our kids to deal with. By the way, things have calmed down a little bit. They're not as emotionally charged as they were. That's what happens when you got a guy who's not always on the social media poking us, irritating us. He's just fucking sleeping or meeting or doing whatever the fuck he does. You know,
mostly sleeping.
Well, good. Listen, Donald Trump didn't get enough fucking sleep. You know, if he would have fucking slept more instead of trying to play grab ass with Melania and getting his hand slapped away, maybe things would have gone differently. But you know, we have found what happens, Joe, when important people do not get the proper sleep. So I will move on. Sleep is very important.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. So I don't want our kids to deal with. Holland added that this isn't the only incident of this nature he's had to deal with over the school year. Most of it has not been an issue until this lady has been angry about, oh, we have an uppity black woman. That's what he's saying here. We got ourselves an uppity black woman, Holland told the Ardmore Right. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. This woman here who happens to be black. I wish
that's not the way he phrased. That's not true.
Most of it has not been an issue until this lady here has been angry about it. I wish she weren't so upset. The Americans. Let me tell you something. If you call like black women, you know, you're being, don't be angry. If you call any woman, if you tell any woman, don't be angry, you've just guaranteed they will be at least twice as angry. You cannot tell a woman, don't be angry. What you can do.
You have unleashed the beast.
What the best thing to do is go, I hear your anger, I appreciate your anger, but or how. Not don't be angry. Don't be angry is never good with the women. You can't do that. Otherwise, you're going to get a very rough hand job when you least expect it.
But here's the deal. The way they're labeling it and the way you just said, oh, it's an angry black woman. Why don't we just say, oh, it's an angry woman? You know, this is a very biased article, to tell you the truth.
Well, I didn't take the biased parts of it. I took the factual parts. I know what you're talking about, where it's very opinion.
But instead, a very angry woman. Okay?
No, but that's what he said. That's what the principal said. The principal called her a very angry woman. That wasn't in.
But all of a sudden people go, oh, and the way the article is laid, oh, it's an angry black woman. But he didn't say, oh, it's an angry black. It seems biased that this article is saying, well, it's an angry black woman. But he didn't say that. He said it was an angry woman, regardless of what color the person was. Could have been a white woman, but it was an angry woman.
Well, either way, he fucking blew it. I wish she wasn't so angry. Well, don't make her angry, stupid. Anyway. The American Civil Liberties Union of Oklahoma argues that banning them is a violation of the boys' First Amendment rights. From the New York Times, in the letter, the ACLU said it would be a violation of the students' First Amendment rights to be prohibited from wearing clothing that says Black Lives Matter. If the school district does not reverse its policy and allow students to wear Black Lives Matter clothing, it must be prepared to prove in federal court how wearing the t-shirt creates a substantial disruption of or material interference with school activities, the ACLU said. Anything less than that would be found to be a violation of the students' First Amendment's rights. It cited a 1969 U.S. Supreme Court case, Tinker v. Des Moines Independent Community School District, which addressed the issue of a group of students who wore black armbands to object to the Vietnam War. A principal told the students that they would be suspended if they wore the armbands at school. The court ruled 7-2 that the students did not shed their constitutional rights to freedom of speech or expression at the schoolhouse gate. I feel like there's been other cases that say otherwise, but that's the one. That's the one the ACLU is referring to. Herbert has said that despite the controversy, it wasn't her intention to be disruptive. She told the New York Times that the shirts weren't supposed to be an attention-seeking ordeal. I don't see Black Lives Matter disrupting anything, Herbert added. You know what? A 5-year-old and an 8-year-old wearing a Black Lives Matter shirt isn't going to fucking disrupt anything. It's just a fucking shirt. Kids don't care about that. They don't have political opinion. And Black Lives Matter is not a political thing. She's absolutely right.
Then if a kid that age wants to wear a MAGA shirt, they should be allowed to wear.
Well, first of all, they should be allowed. But second of all, they're not the same. A MAGA shirt is directly attributed to a politician. Black Lives Matter is not attributed to a politician.
How many politicians have rallied around this in the past year and a half? Of course, it's a political.
You have people of all political persuasions agreeing Black Lives Matter. It just means that black people count, that they're here, they mean something. That's all it means. It's not a political thing unless you want to twist.
When de Blasio painted that in front of Trump's building, you don't think that was a political move?
De Blasio took Black Lives Matter to mean that. But that's not what De Blasio is a politician who did a political thing. These are kids. These people are not politicians. Black Lives Matter is not affiliated to Democrats or Republicans. There's plenty of Republicans who believe Black Lives Matter. As a matter of fact, any decent human being would say, of course, Black Lives Matter. It's only politicians who construe this shit. The woman was saying that was not her intent. And 5-year-olds and 8-year-olds, there's not going to be a fucking disruption because they're not as aware of things as high school kids. And I told you, on the first day I dropped off school this year, I dropped my kid off, and a kid was wearing like a MAGA shirt or a Trump shirt. Okay, who the fuck cares? Wear whatever you want to wear.
And that's my whole thing. The kids should be, it's got to be one thing or the other. If they're going to let to wear the Black Lives Matter shirt, the kids should be allowed to wear a MAGA shirt.
It's an incorrect thing. A better comparison would be a BLM shirt and an NRA shirt. That is a better comparison. A Black Lives Matter and a National Rifle Association thing. Because you can have Democrats that are fine with the NRA and are fine with those values. It's not inherently a political thing. It's only politicians and the NRA itself actually, you know. The NRA is a bad example, but another organization for gun rights that isn't so political as the NRA. Another gun organization that is actually about gun rights and gun owners' rights that isn't as political as the NRA would be a better comparison than a Trump or a Biden or whoever shirt. Because those are political shirts. MAGA is a political slogan. You know, just like Build Back Better is a political slogan. A Build Back Better shirt is equivalent to a MAGA shirt because Build Back Better was Biden's campaign thing. So that would be the equivalent right there. Those are campaign slogans. Black Lives Matter is not a campaign slogan until politicians, you know, want to use it for their own means, like de Blasio did.
Right. So but still, for that simple fact that almost every politician is using it for their own means, means it's a political, it's directly connected to a political statement.
No, but yeah, 5-year-olds and 8-year-olds are not making political statements. This woman said, I'm not making a political statement. She wants her kids to be proud that they're black. That's what she's fucking doing. She's not making a political statement.
Then fine. Let them think and be proud that they're black without having the shirt on.
There's nothing wrong with the shirt. There's nothing wrong with the shirt.
But it's to a political movement as much as a MAGA shirt. He should be able to.
But it's not. You're making
and not pick and choose.
You're making a false equivalent. The MAGA shirt was a political.
It's not a false equivalent.
It is, Joe. You're not listening.
I've been in this country for the past year and a half. It's not a political equivalent. Of course it is.
No, it's not. Make America great again.
How is it not?
Well, if you would listen.
When the Democrats have been rallying around us for a year and a half.
Forget about what the Democrats rally around.
No, we're not forgetting about it because it's directly connected.
It's not. Make America great again.
How is it not directly connected to it? When you see time and time again on the news for the past year and a half where it has been.
Well, because I've seen Republicans marching with the Black Lives Matter protesters. I've seen.
And that side politically connected with it.
No, because Black Lives Matter is not political. Make America Great Again is a politician's slogan. It's a slogan. That's what that is for a politician.
Black Lives Matter has been a mantra around politicians for the past year and a half. It's directly a political.
It shouldn't be.
One sheep is separated. It shouldn't be a magnet. It should build back better. And it should not be a Black Lives Matter. It's an elementary school. They're kids. They shouldn't even be dealing with this at this age. If this was a high school, yeah, there'd be a totally different conversation on this.
You know what? A mother has a right to dress her kid as she wants. You know, the school, well, according to the ACLU, the school is going to have to show how this is a disruption. I don't see 5-year-olds and 8-year-olds wearing a Black Lives Matter shirt causing a disruption in a class. And really, I mean, if they wanted to do something, they could have an assembly, but there's really nothing to even assemble about. It's a shirt. It's like an Iron Man shirt. Who the fuck cares?
Well, it seems like the parents do.
But the
adults care.
But the adults are not in the class.
Yeah, well, this is what it's become, though. That's why we're even having this conversation. That's why we're aware of this, is because the adults have made it an issue, not the kids. In this particular instance, I wish that Black Lives Matter was not seen at all as a political statement. I think that it has become one because it has been, I love this term, weaponized by certain politicians, like de Blasio rubbing it in Trump's face by putting it on the street right in front of his tower. Yeah, see? Now we're using that as a political...
De Blasio's using it!
It shouldn't have been!
De Blasio's using it! De Blasio's an asshole for using it!
Still, it's politically connected, and on both sides of the aisle, they have been exactly what she has said, as a I'm sorry, it's getting late. What was the term you used, which was perfect?
Weaponized.
Well, what you're saying is conservatives don't think Black Lives Matter, and that's more fucking damning. That I could not say anything more damning than what you just said about conservatives.
conservatives believe Black Lives Matter.
Apparently not, Joe. Apparently not, according to you.
They've been using it as a political tool because they have been using it as a political tool that has the connection to that shirt, which makes it on the same plane as a MAGA shirt.
You know what? Here's what happened. Donald Trump made it this way, and I'll tell you how. There's a book coming out, and Donald Trump was on Air Force One, and he was surrounded by his aides and everything. And it was the day of the George Floyd thing, or when the video came out. And Donald Trump's reaction was, this is disturbing. Donald Trump couldn't watch the whole thing. This is what's coming out in the book. Donald Trump was completely turned off by what he saw the police officer do. But, and he even recounted, he goes, you know, growing up in Queens, you know, some of the police were pretty rough. So Donald Trump had an experience, I guess some of the people he was running around with in Queens had encountered this or he'd seen this. But this book says Donald Trump did the calculation. He couldn't say anything about this because it would turn off his base. So, yes, it's been politicized, but it never should have been politicized. At its root, it's not a political thing. So this woman is telling you, I'm not talking about politics.
I understand that, but you said it never should have been politicized. It has been. And that's where we are.
Yeah, but that shouldn't mean that other people can't stand by it just because assholes politicize it. Donald Trump should have had meetings with the leaders of Black Lives Matter, should have had them in the White House. He might be president right now if he did more of that shit. He didn't do that. Donald Trump made the calculation, my base is uneducated, I love the uneducated, and they're racist, and they're gonna stand by black people getting murdered in the street. Donald Trump made that calculation. That's what he thinks about his
people. All right, fine. And put Trump in there with de Blasio, with all these other politicians that politicize this. I'm not going to say, well, Trump had, no, he's in the mix too. But because they all were, it has a kind of...
I was inquiring about buying one of these shirts, but I wanted it to go back to an organization that would help black people. I couldn't find it. I could find them at fucking Walmart. I didn't want to buy a Black Lives Matter shirt at Walmart. When I was going to get the shirt, I didn't get it because I couldn't find one from a reasonable place I wanted to give my business to. I wasn't wearing it as a fuck the Republicans pro-lefty shirt. I was going to wear it in solidarity with black people that, yes, your lives do matter and they are important. It has nothing to do with Democrat or Republican. It seems like conservatives or Republicans have a worse feeling about Republicans than me or a lot of liberals do. I assume good people who happen to be conservative Republican would agree that, yes, black lives matter. I assume good people of any political persuasion would agree, yes, black lives matter. This is important. That's what I assume. But apparently I'm making a mistake because people on the right go, no, this is a political thing. We couldn't possibly think black lives matter. If that's the case, I guess I'm wrong and it's sad.
But it has the direct connotation thanks to the politicalization of it. They wear it with a MAGA shirt. So you can't wear a MAGA shirt, you can't wear this.
Like I told you, a MAGA shirt was for a politician. It was a politician's shirt. That's the difference.
Yeah.
It's like a yes, we can.
Politicians to weaponize. You know, if you had a George Floyd T-shirt, maybe the conversation would be different. You know, or an Africa or something or a part. You know, it was. But this, there is a connotation, and in addition, furthermore, the article I feel is so biased with this right fragility. The way they phrase that, it's not like...
Yeah, the article is biased, but I didn't take any of those slantings into what I just presented right now. I presented the facts of the case. I didn't take any of what the writer thought. I didn't take any of that on there. I'm presenting...
Right, but still, I'm just, you know, I'm saying...
But I'm not presenting that case, Joe. I'm not presenting the writer's case. I took the facts out of it. I left their opinion aside. I don't need their opinion.
But the facts of this movement has been... due to both sides of the aisle, and a former has been politicized.
So what? So you want to punish? You want to punish the people who understand what it's mean and the purity of the message because assholes and the left on the right have used it for political gain? I'm not willing to do that.
If you're going to do, you know what? Then if you want to wear the shirt, then you got to allow the MAGA shirt in. You got to allow
it's not the same. No, a MAGA shirt is a MAGA shirt is equivalent to "Yes, we can." A politician's slogan. That's the equivalent right there. A Black Lives Matter shirt did not come up from a president or a presidential candidate. It's just not the same.
It came from mayors.
It came from black ladies. It came from black ladies. That's who it came from. It didn't come from Hillary Clinton or anybody else you want to say.
Yeah, black ladies that have bought three expensive houses and abscond with some of the money and hasn't helped a lot of the victims in the case. But that's another story.
That is another story. What do you want me to tell you? listen. That's not all the Black Lives Matter founders, but yeah, that's the reporter with one of them. What do you want me to tell you? I never said the left was pure and good and righteous. I just said the message Black Lives Matter is good and pure and righteous. I can't help what people do with it. What do you want me to tell you? But I'm telling you, a lot of the people who are marching black, white, left, right with the Black Lives Matter marches had nothing to do with politics. You know, the people who saw George Floyd murdered on the street, they weren't thinking Democrat, Republican, conservative, or liberal. They thought, oh my God, this guy is being murdered on the street. He matters. That's what that's about.
Do you think in a matter of an elementary school, due to the weaponization, the politicalization of the phrase, that could be a problem in an elementary school?
No, I don't, because I don't think these kids are aware of it. And if they are aware of it, as you like to say, well, this is a great opportunity to have an assembly. So, you know, if they are aware of it, you could bring somebody in that could talk about it on their level, what it matters, the sanctity of life, how we're all important. You could certainly bring somebody in, but honestly, I think it goes over most of their heads, Joe. At five and eight, I think when you get to 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, then the kids start to become aware. At 5 and 8...
Then if it was a junior high or high school, I would probably have a different opinion.
If it was a junior high school, I might buy more into the principal where they say, we don't want a disturbance. I might go, okay, I get it, and you...
But also at that age, kids could be nasty. Now, when I was elementary school, I was a heavy set kid, and I liked trucks, and I got a Mack truck shirt. And all the kids said that's kind of good because you're a fucking Mack truck anyway.
Right.
They could be pretty nasty.
You know what I would have done, Joe, if I was there. If I was there for little Joey, I would have gotten you a Fat Lives Matter T-shirt.
Can I have one of those now?
Fuck you.
Fat Lives Matter. We won't march. We'll just get our little scooters and roll. We're not prepared to march for this shit. We're gonna roll to the buffet. Fat Lives Matter.
Yeah, I think that, you know, everybody just, instead of throwing up the black pride salute, we should just hold Twinkies.
That'd be delicious. Yeah. I get where the principal was coming from, but at some point it's just overreacting. And you know what? Honestly, at ages 5, 8, 9, 10, they don't see color, and now's a great time to talk to them what the pure message of Black Lives Matter is, not what's been weaponized by whoever and for whatever purposes. But now's a great time when they're 5 and 8 to go, listen, we're all in this together. We all have to matter. This classroom, this school, this town, this state, it only works if we all matter. And this is what happened, you know, traditionally, you're talking to 5 and 8 year olds, traditionally in our country, you know, black people have not had it so good, and this shirt means that they deserve to have it good, just like everybody else, whether you're white, black, red, yellow, purple, whatever. That's how you talk about it on their level. And that's a great message. That's okay. And like I said, I get what the principal was doing, but now you've blown it up. Now you've blown it up into something that it didn't need to be, and you didn't do yourself any favors.
Yeah,
but it does seem like
it's kind of disingenuous of the mom to be like, I didn't mean it as any kind of statement, when you have your 5 and 8 year old wearing a shirt. You want them to be proud of themselves. But you have them wearing this shirt that you know has become a touch point, you know, like has become incendiary in some areas. It should not be. But you have little kids wearing these shirts with your
That's a different
ideals.
Argument. That's a different argument, you know, whether as a parent you should do that. But she's not under the gun.
No, I think it's the same argument.
It's not the same
argument.
Because
she's the one that said, oh, no, you can't tell them not to. It's like, but if they're little kids and this is not, you know, political, why are you sending them out wearing it? It's kind of like you're wearing them, you have them wearing your billboard with your thoughts on it.
Well, that's
why
what
are
people,
you doing that?
That's because that's what people do with their kids. What do you want me to tell you? But
well, yes, you know.
Listen, I mean, but what message is it sending that these kids have now worn it and now they're told they can't wear it? It almost sends the message of, well, maybe black lives don't matter. So that's even a worse message. I mean, now you...
I know.
Listen.
No, because there was a... You know what, though? It sends a message that there's a dress code in school.
But there isn't a dress code.
There is a dress code on certain shirts that make certain statements are not allowed.
But there's not a dress code, because even the superintendent wouldn't stick by this shit. The superintendent's like, well, you should talk to the principal. So there isn't a dress code. The superintendent wanted nothing to do with this shit. The superintendent's like, this shit isn't going to be good. And listen, I appreciate the difficult situation the principal was in, but you know what? Maybe you just roll the dice, let the kids wear the shirt, and maybe nothing happens. Because I guarantee you, this is not the only school it's happened in.
But then on the other hand, the phone rings from the people going, well, my kid wants to wear a Magnus shirt. Why can't he?
Well, then you deal with it. But maybe you get out clean. Listen, if they're making shirts that small, I'm sure these aren't the only two little boys or girls that are wearing Black Lives Matter shirts to school. I'm sure this has happened in plenty of other schools, and there weren't stories because everybody was just fucking cool about it and let it be. There's the fucking move. You realize, well, this is a rock and a hard place. All right, let's just see this play out, and maybe nobody gets hurt. That's what you do with this shit. That's the way you play this shit. I appreciate the difficult position he was in, but the best... You play fucking stupid. You play stupid until you can't play stupid no more. And I'll tell you what, if you play stupid enough, you could go very far in politics.
Yes. I mean, I think that he should have let it roll, you know, but... Because it's, as you said, at the heart of it, it's not a political thing. People have used it for political reasons, but it's not a political statement in and of itself. It's not. But people have used those, and if you want to start getting into, now we're going to talk about the finer points of can they wear this shirt or that shirt or this statement or that. These are the parents talking. The kids don't care.
I mean, you can make the same argument, and then we'll move on. If a mother dressed up her little girl like in her winter coat was all fur, is that a political statement? At its heart, no, but it certainly has been used to be a political statement and weaponized, you know, whether by PETA or guns rights people and anti-guns rights. You could take anything and make it a political statement, or you could just let the fucking kids be kids and deal with it later on down the line.
I say if they're going to take the position on, it's all or none. It's all or none.
Yeah. Well, I don't care if a kid wears a MAGA shirt.
It's going to be, because every fucking shirt, everybody's going to be picky-une over, so it's all or none.
Listen, I don't have a problem with kids wearing fucking shirts. Just, you know what you do? Before school starts, you talk to the teachers, go, listen, we're going to see a lot of shit in our classrooms. We're just going to let it slide. If there's a disruption, bring it to my attention, and we will deal with it. That's what you do.
If it's a problem, or it's an all or none thing. This way you don't have to sit and argue like we're arguing, arguing in the school meeting or whatever. It's all or none. You need the shirts or not the shirts.
Listen, when I see somebody with a MAGA shirt, I just know they have a bad taste in fashion, and I move on. What do you want me to tell you, Joe? Because let's be honest, actually, not the MAGA shirt, the MAGA hat, and I've talked about it before. The MAGA hat. Hideous fucking hat. I would expect somebody who married a model in fucking fashion would come up with a hat a little bit more stylish than that hat. But we don't have to see that anymore. But it was a very our bright red hat on an orange face with just like writing. Ugh. Put a flag on it. Do something. Not a good hat. Why not an American flag?
Get some are good quality with a good design.
I didn't talk about the quality. I'm talking about the look. I don't know from the quality of these hats. I'm just talking about the appearance of them. Ugly. Throw a flag on it. That's all I'm saying. Make America great again. Put the country on there. Do something.
Well, it depends what you want to pay. I mean, one with the flag and an eagle and all that shit's more expensive than a regular one.
Well, Joe, this guy's a multi-billionaire allegedly, and he's not paying taxes. Let's fucking roll with it, baby. He's raising money left and right. He's still sending out questionnaires for fundraisers. He's got money coming in. Let's get a nice fucking hat for these people. I understand these are not a fashion-forward people. I understand that. But still, you know he's going to wear it. It's not a good-looking hat. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. I look. We all deal with swag. Sometimes there was, I mean, at the day program, some of the swag we had were kind of looking plain. And then we got some marketing people, our marketing staff in, and some of our swag was pretty cool. Now you gotta make it interesting. Yeah.
Well, Joe, don't get me wrong. A free Make America Great hat again is one thing. A $15 Make America Great Again hat, or a $40 Make America Great Again hat.
Well, right. So if you see a Magna hat, it's $6. You know, it's not that fancy. You get what you pay for. Now, for $15, I want the eagle and a flag and a.
I'll tell you what. I'm not even buying that hat for $6 from the Ball Sweat Dominican in the parking lot at the rally. I'm not fucking doing it. It's an ugly hat. I don't care if it's got Mike Pence on the back. I don't care if it has both members. I don't care if it has the whole fucking cabinet on the back, like they do in the parking lot. I am not buying that hat. It's an ugly hat. I'm sorry.
I mean, look. Sometimes you go to the concert. You'll buy. You know, I usually when I go to the concert, I'll buy two shirts. The really nice one. And then I'll buy a ball sack one to wear around the house.
Yeah, sure. I'm not getting the Donald Trump. I'm not buying the $50 concert Donald Trump hat or the ball sack Donald Trump hat. Not in that design.
That's what we got. We just created a name, so we thought about. Yeah, I went outside, bought the ball sack one.
Yeah, the ball sack. Proud to. I have great ball. Here's the thing. Most ball sack, shirts, hats, very nice. If you're just putting writing on there, it's not nice. A little picture.
Putting notes. Ball sack shirt.
All right. It's already down.
There it is.
Thank you.
Pips on top of things tonight. All right. On to the next. 8 high school football coaches in Ohio were fired for allegedly forcing a player to eat pork against his religious beliefs as punishment for missing practice, according to reports Friday. Head coach Marcus Watley and 7 assistant coaches at McKinley Senior School in Canton had initially been suspended after allegedly ordering the 70-year-old Hebrew Israelite to eat an entire pizza with pepperoni residue, according to the Canton report. A fucking whole pizza. Jesus Christ, I thought you want these kids to be in shape. What's wrong with you? Make him eat a whole salad with bacon bits on it, you motherfucker. Anyway, the city school board voted unanimously Thursday not to renew Watley's coaching contract after an investigation found he had engaged in inappropriate demeaning and divisive behavior during the May 24th incident. 7 assistant coaches also lost their jobs. The investigation found that the identified coaches engaged in actions that constituted inappropriate demeaning and divisive behavior in a misguided attempt to instill discipline in the student athletes. District Superintendent Jeff Talbert said in a statement, "Hey, here's a fucking superintendent that can make a decision." Talbert said the decision to strip the coaches of their jobs was made based on surveillance video of the ordeal, which took place in the school's gym. During the incident, the coaches allegedly forced the boy to eat the pizza because he skipped a voluntary strength and conditioning practice May 20th due to an injured shoulder. The coaches allegedly told the boy his teammates would be forced to do extra drills, and he would lose his position on the team if he didn't eat, according to the student's lawyer, Ed Gilbert. He is of the belief, and that's what hurts him so bad, that the coach knew of his beliefs and wanted to punish him. It's our view that it was done intentionally and that it was punitive act, Gilbert told the New York Times. The coach told him, in order to have respect and stay on this team, you have to eat the pizza. The team was reportedly shouted at by coaches and teammates as he ate the pizza after removing the pepperoni. Gilbert said the student is now in therapy because of the harassment. The boy's family has said it plans to sue the school district. All right, most important thing first. The only thing that can make a pizza unappetizing is by putting the word residue on it. Nobody wants pizza with residue. What the fuck is wrong with you, you animals, you? Why would you ruin a perfectly good pizza with residue? Yuck.
Just those words.
Residue. That's what I'm saying.
They pulled it off there, but I guess there was some remaining on it, so they call it residue. Because they can't say, well, was the pork, what was it, sausage or whatever on that?
Pepperoni.
So, pepperoni. So they say, well, we removed the pepperoni off the pizza. Okay, well, there was still residue on it. So that's probably the way they're phrasing it on that.
I got to tell you what.
Well, yeah, I get that, but it's just like, what a disgusting phrase. If you're just talking about food flat out, that's really unappetizing. I don't want any residue of anything on my food. Ew.
They had a phrase it that way. Well, they pulled the pepperoni off it, but there was residue on it. I know residue usually gives a connotation of stuff left over from certain acts. And there's a girl with a side that probably had some residue. But nonetheless,
these coaches should have been suspended. This is a fucking hate crime. I mean, what are they fucking thinking? I mean, I understand they're football coaches. This is not the best and the brightest. I understand. But I guess there's 8 of them, 1 head coach, and 7 assistants. Nobody said, you know what? Maybe this isn't the best way we could go about things. Maybe we don't make our Jewish player eat a whole fucking pizza as we and the rest of the team scream at him. What could possibly go wrong? I mean,
you know, it's just... And they should have more common sense, because basically they said he skipped a voluntary strength and conditioning practice due to an injured shoulder. So two things here: number one, he had an injured shoulder. Maybe he didn't want to. Maybe he didn't want to, you know, re-injure it or make it worse. Number two, well, if you didn't go to strength and we believe you could have went, good. You don't play Sunday, Saturday. You don't play maybe for next 2 weeks. You sit on the bench. And you'll sit there till you go strength and conditioning. Well, my arm, well, fine. You're on a DL, so you go there. You don't make him eat a pizza with residue on it. I mean, he handled it. It's very childish the way they handled it.
And also, let's remember, kids, this was, quote, a voluntary workout. Well, it's not a voluntary workout if you're punishing them for not showing up. And then the worst thing,
right.
The worst thing you could do to somebody in this environment, and it happened to me in a fraternity, whereas if you fuck up, in my case, it was fraternity brothers, but in this case, it's teammates. They will pay the price for your fuck up. That is a tool that that most people cannot stand up to. Because where are you going to go? Fuck it. They'll be fine. I mean, no, you're not going to do it. You know you're screwed. You know you got to deal with it.
Right. And with that in mind, the other players shouldn't have to suffer because it was voluntary. And number two, he had an injured shoulder. And, you know, usually what happened is coach cut right through the shit. You don't do this, you don't play. Done. There was nothing after that. You don't do this, you don't play. Coach was very upfront about it, you know. So I don't get this. This is ridiculous what they did. It's stupid what they did.
Well, when you're making something that, you know, this is your sport, and you're making them make a choice between, you know, punishing my teammates versus making me break my moral code. No. I'm whatever it is, it's like whatever happened to running extra laps or something. I mean, now they're saying, you know, like if it was somebody who was, Islamic, would you, okay, rip off your headdress? We know where that gets you. You know, it's
headdress.
It don't make...
They're Muslims. They're not Native Americans. What are you talking about?
High school sports works as well.
And furthermore, you Muslims, come out of that teepee mosque of yours. What are you talking about?
No, I'm just saying that this is an article of faith, and you're telling people to break their faith for sports?
Sure.
Yeah. And you know what? A lot of stuff that's in high school sports is unfair. When I was a senior, I was on a football team, and my mom didn't have enough money to send me to football camp. Everybody, you know, all the other guys went. They come back from camp. They knew all the plays. I didn't know the plays because I wasn't at camp. I quit, and two other varsity guys that couldn't afford to go to camp quit. That was the only thing in my life I've ever quit. And I, you know, but I didn't have the drive that I have.
Well, that's not true. You did quit this show.
But I came back, and I had to drive to come back.
Well, yeah, but it didn't cost you any money to come back.
But it cost me gas and tolls. But
you got a gig and a meal. What do you fucking want?
I made him pay me.
Oh, all right. You're a better negotiator than me.
You know, it's unfair, and you walk away. But you know, it's the way it is. But here, like I said, coach is usually very upfront. You don't do that. You know, you don't play. You don't play till you do drill, but. And leave it at that. You know, what they did, they took it a step that they should have never taken it. You know, so, yeah, everybody's got to get shit canned.
Yeah, this is, all right, so we all agree. These are a bunch of morons that, once again, prove they never should have been in control of young people. It is amazing who we put in control of young people. All right. The Tampa Bay Lightning.
Just to add one small thing. If you did this in the Army in boot camp or whatever, everybody get fired, too, for the religious aspect of this.
I guess eat that pork-filled MRE, soldier.
Yeah, so if they go, well, we want to be military tough, well, that's fine. You know, they are high school kids, but however, you get shit canned, too. The fucking general will have your ass in a fucking heartbeat.
Well, I don't know if there's cameras all over the place on the military bases, like there is apparently at this high school. The Tampa Bay Lightning are getting rid of a controversial jersey policy meant to quiet fans of the visiting team. Security at Amalie Arena in Tampa, Florida threatened to call police if a man and his 11-year-old son did not remove their Florida Panthers apparel supporting the road team during the first-round playoff series between the intrastate rivals, as seen on a now-viral video posted by the parent, Brad Bargman. The policy dates back to 2015 when the Lightning made a surprise run to the Stanley Cup Finals at the expense of the Rangers in the Eastern Conference Finals. It forbade fans from wearing jerseys of other teams in the premium seats and club lounges of the arena at a time when fans of visiting teams could take over the venue because the Lightning's fan support was dwindling. Fans searching for tickets in those areas of the arena, about 10% of capacity, reportedly received notice of the policy before finalizing an online purchase, but Bergman said he paid almost $400 apiece for the tickets on Ticketmaster and called ahead and was told Panthers jerseys were allowed in the seats, not in the clubs. Security told him a different story, apologized for misinformation, and offered an ultimatum. Abide by the rules, the team would provide a replacement shirt, which happened to be Black Lives Matter shirts. They happen to have two extra smalls lying around. or leave with a refund. The video got enough social media attention that the Lightning revoked the policy. After careful consideration, the Lightning have elected to relax its visiting team apparel policy and the premium clubs for playoff games at Amalie Arena. The team said in a statement to the Tampa Bay Times, the policy was originally instituted in 2015 at the request of our valued ticket holders in those areas, but we realize we have grown as an organization as a hockey market since that time and it is no longer necessary. The Lightning reportedly also had a policy in 2015 that monitored zip codes to block out of state fans purchasing tickets through Ticketmaster during the playoffs. The idea was to create a greater home ice advantage, but that policy was criticized around the league and repealed. Tampa Bay eliminated Florida in six games during the 2021 series. Listen, I've been to games like where I used to go to the Jets games. It seems like whoever owned those seats would sell them to out-of-state people, like to teams like Dolphins fans or Cowboy fans, whoever the fucking Jets were playing. And yeah, it's irritating, it's annoying, but do we really need to make rules now about this shit? Suck it up, Buttercup. You know what? Sell out your arena.
Are we fucking children? And in the video, I mean,
I hope not.
The guy and the kid were nice. I mean, the people there, it's a bullshit rule. The funny thing is, the guy that they were hassling, he goes, so let me get this right, Cam. But what if I wore a SWAT sticker in here? Would that be a problem? I probably could wear a SWAT sticker. I'm looking, reading the story. I'm like, well, look, if the Munich Jurors came to town, we might have to let you go. But yeah.
Well, you know, the Munich Jurors, they don't really skate well, but they do have a powerful slap shot. So.
Yeah.
But they stay in formation exceptionally well.
They do, but here's the problem with the Munich Führers. They're great for two periods, but then they fold in the third period. So you could really dominate their ice if you just hang with it. But unfortunately, the Munich Führers always have a bunch of Jews in the penalty box. What are you going to do?
They thought they were exceptional in the third. It was the part that they fell.
I see what you did there, yes.
And you know what? The penalty box was really good. They decorated the penalty box like a box car. Just stop that. You can't do that.
They rolled out four lines, but their third line was called the Third Reich. So, you know, you didn't want to mess with them.
All right. God. Oh God! You know, I'm normally afraid of lightning, but I'm exceptionally afraid of it right at this moment.
Well, you know, I believe the SS, their logo was lightning. It was lightning bolt. So you deserve it.
Did you have to dress? Did you have to dress up the Zamboni to look like a staff car? Really?
Oh God!
Listen. I mean, like I said, it sucks when you pay your tickets and you're surrounded by opposing fans. I've told this story before. You know, I went to see the Jets play the Eagles in Philadelphia, and that was the only time I almost got in a fight at games because the Eagles fans are just fucking animals. But most
they get a fucking jail in the stadium. You got more balls than a pool table doing that.
Well, they won a Super Bowl and ate horseshit off the ground. I mean, these are barely human beings. But But listen, I mean, can people just behave? Does the team need? I mean, that's what we have security for. Stop. Well, we're season ticket holders. We don't have to deal with it. Well, tell some of your friends to buy some tickets, motherfucker. What do you want me to tell you?
Well, let me tell you something, though, about going down to Philly. Sometimes, like, going down to the Comedy Works, you know, you go out and you'll sit at the bar just to get a soda or something like that. And a couple of times they had a Met Phillies game on there. And I caught, I would say, yeah, at the wrong time, and it dawned on me where the fuck I was. I'm like, yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm sitting in fucking Philly watching. I'm like, yeah, and the Mets will fucking get a home run. Yeah, that sucks.
I didn't realize how bad it was until Mr. Helix and I went to Boston wearing our Yankee shirts. And I have rarely felt as threatened as being on the subway at 3 a.m. as I did in that stadium. I was, like, shocked at how rude people were to me.
You know what my takeaway from that story is? From what you just said? Me and Joe really need to raise our threatening game. I am very disappointed.
Well, there was a story about the time Devin and I were working in, we were in Michigan, and we're having lunch, and we're at a buffet. Devin's got his devil's jacket on, and I hear Devin's voice, and this guy goes to him, oh, Jersey Devils, huh? And then Devin goes, well, you don't like championships? I shit my fucking salad all over the table I was laughing.
Yeah, well, that was a long time ago when the Devils were good. I shan't be saying anything now. I'll just keep my stupid head down now because they suck. But no, I mean, listen, I get it's annoying when the other team invades. Like, if you go to a Devils game against the Flyers, I've talked about that, the Philadelphia Flyers, they invade. If you get against the Rangers or the Islanders, it's annoying. I get it. But do we really need to make rules? Enough. Enough. It's a father and his son. They're sitting in the fucking seats. Relax.
Their money is as good as anybody else's. How fragile are you?
Bunch of snowflakes on that ice.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah, that's a stupid rule.
All right. Israeli scientists have found a way to increase the life expectancy of mice by 23% in a groundbreaking research that they hope replicate in humans, who would then reach an average age of 120 years old. The researchers boosted the life expectancy of 250 rodents by increasing the supply of SIRT6, a protein that normally wanes in the aging process, the Times of Israel reported. In the peer-reviewed research published in the journal Nature Communications, the scientists also said the protein-enriched animals were less prone to cancer. The change in life expectancy is significant when you consider that an equivalent jump in human life expectancy would have us living an average until almost 120, Professor Chaim Cohen of Bar-Ilan University in Ramat Gan told the news outlet. The changes we saw in mice may be translatable to humans. If so, that would be exciting, added Cohen, whose lab is working on identifying drugs that may allow the SIRT6 to safely be spiked in people. He also added, however, we will not be giving this science to Hamas. And in 2012, he became the first researcher to increase the protein levels in animals and boost life expectancy, leading male mice to live 15% longer and a much quieter existence. But the experiment had no impact on female mice, according to the Times of Israel, although mice did report a decrease in nagging. The latest study, which included... The latest study, which included Professor Rafael DiCabo, and also the male mice no longer cared what color their wheel was. The latest study, which included Professor Rafael DiCabo of the U.S. National Institutes of Health, showed the increased life expectancy among mice of both genders. But it is bigger among the males, it always is, which now live 30% longer than males from a control group. The females are living 15% longer than their control group counterparts. The scientists saw that aging mice lose the ability to generate energy due to difficulty of deriving energy from fats and lactic acid. But older mice with high levels of SIRT6 could easily generate energy from these sources and had less cholesterol, lower incidence of cancer, and could also run faster. That's what you need, quick fucking mice. That's what I say. The cat's like, what the fuck happened? I have the size advantage. What's going on here? The discovery shows that SIRT6 controls the rate of healthy aging, and this shows that boosting its activity could potentially slow aging, Cohen said. Although he could easily increase SIRT6 levels of mice by genetically modifying them, boosting the protein in humans would require drugs. Cohen said his lab may be able to replicate the results in humans in 2 to 3 years. We are developing small molecules that may increase the levels of SIRT6 or make existing amounts of the protein more active, he said. They may be used in the future to address the aging process. So I put a poll up there on our social media, at Davin's Den. I suggest you follow or like or respond, whatever. And we got a decent amount of responses. It was 50-50 on whether people would take the drug or not. I asked if people would take this drug to live 20% longer. It was 50-50. Sign me the fuck up. Less cancer, less cholesterol. I'm 120 and I'm moving like a 90-year-old. Sign me the fuck up. Well, I don't give it. What are the side effects going to be when I'm taking this shit at 80 years old? What, I'm going to die? Was going to do that anyway. What, I have a horn? Well, now we have a conversation piece at the fucking home. There is nothing to lose by taking this. Sign me the fuck up. Go Jews.
Yeah, I would go for that.
Yeah.
You know, especially as you get older, you realize that it's, you realize how many more years you have. I mean, I've got more years behind me than I do in front of me.
Well, that might be. You might be a little longer now that you don't share a house with the ex.
Yeah, well, that's true. But still, I think about, like, you know, I'm going to be 60 next year. My dad, you know, was by his own hand, died at 61. My mom died at 65. So, you know, I'm sitting here going, Jesus Christ, what have I got, 10 more years? Also, I've lost two classmates, you know, that you would never expect. I lost one last week to cancer.
I'm sorry.
And another one had a heart attack.
Sorry.
Christ, 2 months ago, and I lost another one. You know, they were all good guys. Lost another one to diabetes towards the beginning of the year. So you know, you lose your relatives and stuff like that, and you just watch some people around you went to school with that are passing away. So you look at your own mortality, and you're like, how much time do I really have left?
Well, you know, it's funny you bring that up, Joe, because my parents were over this weekend, and my mother, who's not in the best health, proclaimed that she is going to live forever. And I said, that is great. I am happy to hear that. And also, it no longer means when you call and I don't respond the way you want, you can no longer say, well, you know what? You'll be happy when I'm gone. I go, because you're living forever. So take that one out of the holster. You can't use that to guilt out of me, because you're gonna miss me when I'm gone, Mom. You're living forever.
Well, my brother's 91, you know, and he goes, I'm almost ready to go. Well, I need you here. And, you know, we all need you. You know, can't go yet. Because when it's time to go, it's time to go. Well, I go, I don't plan on going. So he goes, you're going to die. I go, but if you say so, yes, sir.
I don't know. I think this is good. I think this is good stuff.
I don't know what the hell's going to happen to me. I mean, it's like there's nobody to make arrangements and stuff like that. If Joanne did it, she'd have me at the fucking curb Thursday garbage day.
Davin
and I have plans.
Yeah, we have plans. These cats got to eat somehow. No, somebody will find you from the office. Like, somebody will, like, oh, we haven't seen Joe in a while. Somebody should go to his house, and there you'll be. You'll be there, dead.
Well, sometimes my ankle doesn't feel like being an ankle and will just not work. And I was walking through my family room 7 months ago, and I fell on the floor. And I'm like, first I said I've fallen and I can't get up, and gave myself a little chuckle. And as I'm lying there, I'm lying on the floor, and I'm looking under my the console that I have, and I'm like, this is probably going to be the last thing one day I'll ever see.
Yep.
And I'm like, I really need to die. I go, holy cow, what a memory of that. And then the next step is Nettie and Jesus. I'm like, all right, well, we can do.
No, you should probably get one of those medic alert things. It's probably time.
Yeah.
That's what happens to old people. They just mysteriously fall because the body's like, we've had enough being vertical. Let's see what the floor looks like. That's what happens to old people. You're starting at a little younger age, but...
Oh, yeah. And let me tell you something. Plenty of elderly people. I'm not elderly. I'm just saying. Plenty of elderly people will have a fall, you know, bruise a hip, and it's fucking curtains. You know, it's curtains.
Sure. Which goes to my point. Don't fucking wait around for the doctor to give you bad news. Let's go out there and play some ball, kids. Let's go. Time's a wasting.
Well, I'll tell you a story. One job I had, there was a guy, there was a customer we had. It was in the bench business. And it was a guy probably mid-80s, late-80s, and he leaves to walk out of the shop. And my boss goes, you see that guy? And I go, yeah, the old-timer. And he goes, about 40 years ago, the doctors told him that he had about maybe 4 months to live, and he told the doctors to go fuck themselves and walked out.
See?
He did pretty good.
See, I'm 40 years ahead of my time. So, Pip, would you...
Yeah, you do hear that sometimes.
Pip, would you take the drug?
You know what? I am on the fence about this. I think that... everybody would like to live longer, live healthier if they're living longer. But for example, if I was in, if I was going to spend 120 years, like another lifetime, feeling like in the pain that I'm in today, yeah, no, that doesn't sound like a groovy proposition. If it's going to like cure certain things and keep you from getting certain things that you normally get in age, well, yeah, but this did not cover all of the things that happen. I mean, you know, if it's going to say I'm not going to get arthritis or I'm not going to get other, like, crippling diseases towards the end, yeah, it'd be all in. But there's a lot of stuff that happens when your body starts breaking down that this didn't address.
Yeah, well, so,
Alzheimer's is another issue because basically, you know, we're all dealing with people that have friends, relatives that have Alzheimer's.
Yes.
And the thing about it is, it's like it, our generation is really the first thing, the first generation to deal with it because people didn't live that long. You know?
Yeah.
50 years ago, people lived to, you know, 70, you know, maybe 75. And,
right.
And that was it. But now people are living into the 80s and all, you know, and it's a problem. So, yeah, it is a quality of life issue because what is your quality of life? Because let me tell you something. If I'm going to be bored shitless if I'm just going to be sitting around at 100. I want to go out. I got to do shit. Maybe there's a gig, you know, something like that.
Nah, you'll still fucking drive down to Uncle Vinny's. You'll be fine.
The other problem is I don't think that our planet does not have the resources to sustain people living for that much
so
longer.
So you know what? You'll be a fucking here. So you, but you know what, Pip? For everybody like me that's going to live to 120, there's people like you who'll be dead in a couple months. So don't worry about it. It all evens out. It's all good. Fine.
No, it's not evening up now. So I think that
humans
who are basically a plague on this planet live even longer is just going to hasten its demise.
It is evening out.
But
because
you get to this age now, well, at least the age I am, and you start to question your mortality and how much time you have left. I mean, you try to do the best you can, but it's like, wow. You know, because I think back, like, I'll give you an example. 10 years ago, 4th of July, 10 years ago, I realized that my marriage was pretty much done, you know? And I think back what's happened 10 years, but I think about 10 years, I'm like, well, in 10 years, I'm going to be almost 70, and that's going to go like that because this past 10 years went like lightning. So you start to think of major events in your life and where they took place. I mean, Christ, actually next Monday, I'll be here 4 years. You know, 4 years ago. And you remember when I went through the whole thing and the selling half, but 4 years ago. And you think about how quickly that went, you know, and you just start thinking how quick time goes and how much more time you have left. And you're like, wow, you know, wow, you know.
Listen, I
well, according to you, what you were saying about your parents' longevity, I mean, I understand that your father's lifespan was artificially shortened, but I mean, if you think about, like, the natural lifespan, if I'm looking at my parents, I don't have a long time here.
Yeah, but, yeah, but Pip, you're doing so well with what you have, I'm sure it's going to work out fine.
But, you know, it's great the way you look at it, because like I said, it's the genes that you have. My mom died at 65. My grandfather died at 65. My grandmother died at 74. My aunt died at 91. My brother is 91. You know, so you look at it and like, well, this, well, on the other hand, you know.
Joe, it's like I tell you all the time. Evil doesn't die. You can't kill evil. You'll be fine.
Then I shall live forever.
No, not you. You have a good heart. Somewhere.
Well, no, apparently I don't.
No, you don't. You got a fucking Buick heart. But all right, yeah, whatever. I would take it. Yeah, I'll probably be dead soon too. I tell my wife knows she's gonna outlive me. Well, see, the people like you wishing upon it.
Well, you want to know something? You better let me tell you something. You're not a spring chicken anymore yourself. So instead of telling the look, you got to play the odds because the medical system is a racket. But you really need to start making sure everything is cool, because let me tell you something, my friend, you're in an age where you'll be better in 2 weeks or you're going to be dead in 3 hours. So you gotta really get checked out.
Listen, with the exception of me being a fat fuck because I eat too much, I'm fucking fine. I work out. I'm athletic. I don't fucking sleep. I'm lifting heavy weights. It's all beautiful, kids. And just because things hurt now, that's all right. It's all going to be fine.
All right. I'm just telling you, we're putting the lineup together for a night for Davin. Please.
Please. I don't need to be roasted by a bunch of open micers. No, thank you.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
No. This is a celebration. I'm going to get Joseph Anthony, and we'll get Johnny. Hopefully Johnny's doing well. We'll bring
Joseph Anthony. I know he can be funny in the crowd. The rest, I'm not so sure. All right, let's move on.
Hope D. Felice out of retirement. It'll be a very good night. Sorry,
you can't even find D. Felice. You got a better chance of finding Al Capone's vault, what's in the vault, than finding Larry D. Felice.
Well, that's where Larry is.
He could be.
Oh, by the way, we have to get Pat Lamb because we got to squeeze in. This funeral home looks like an Indian hula house.
Yeah.
I want to hear him talk about laxatives one more time.
Watching the arms. We've got Gonzo's arms coming out of the camp. Ooh, yeah.
Like these guys are going to be alive. Stop it.
Wonderful line, my friend.
All right. It's going to be fine. I do have to go. You probably should get more blood work done at some point. And I think I'm going to get one of those colo guards. I think I'm going to shit in a spoon as opposed to being probed. I think I'm too much of a pussy to be probed. So I'm going to get the little colo guard. And my turn will tell me about the exploits of the Postal Service. If it got lost, what trucks it was on. My turn shall travel the country.
No. Go get the pipe. They put you out. It's the best sleep you ever had.
No, I'm not like you. And I'm not like you. I'm my sleep is fine. I sleep 4 or 5 hours.
If you do get the pipe, make sure Joanne comes with you. Because when I got the pipe, Joanne is there, and things were bad with us, so she didn't really want to take me. But I go, Joanne, I have to go in the room. I got to – you hold my wallet. I don't want to hold your wallet. It's dirty. I go, it's not dirty. Put the wallet in. I go, I want you to know something right now. I'm walking through that door. They're going to shove a hose up my ass. And I can't wait to get in there because it beats the shit out of sitting with you. Hold my fucking wallet. So bring the wallet. You will be willing and able to run in there.
I will not.
She accepted your penis in her mouth and she wouldn't hold your wallet?
Wow.
Figure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I did not see that. I did not see that coming. Wow. And neither did she, because it was in her mouth. It's hard to see. But wow. I did not have Pip Helix for the blowjob joke there. I did not have that on my bingo board.
You didn't have that on your card?
I did not. That one took me unawares. But
that's my favorite move.
If I could add to that, it used to look like, remember when Lucy and Ethel were eating candy on the conveyor belt? That's what it looked like too. So it wasn't.
What she did, what she grabbed your cock and a bunch of others at a rapid rate? Is that what she was doing?
Just what it reminded me of.
Yeah, you just see Joanne on the conveyor belt of cocks. There's Joe among many other cocks. Just quickly putting him in her mouth. Apparently that was anniversary night at the Curry household. Honey, let's play Ethel and Lucy again. The fellers are over from the band. Let's line up like we're on a conveyor belt and quickly put all of our cocks in your mouth. Nothing would be more romantic. That's the analogy I'm going to say about you 20 years from now on a fucking radio show. I think this will be great. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I tell you what, I don't often get surprised on this show anymore, but the two of you just surprised me.
This is a monumental moment.
It most certainly is. Wow. All right. Apparently, Joanne is in the barrel and taking all the cocks.
That's never happened to me in the barrel.
Well, you're not missing. You were never Mrs. Curry. Apparently, if you're Mrs. Curry, that's part of the job. Blow me and the fellas.
And the job, and the job.
Honey, let's play the horn section. Here, put them all in your mouth and blow.
Thank you, man. I'm going to put coffee all over my calendar, you ass.
Wow. Wow, what a fucking analogy. My wife was like Ethel and Lucy on the conveyor belt. What, every woman wants to hear her man describe her as that.
In the candy episode, when we started eating the candy.
I understand, Joe.
This looks remotely like that.
Now, I understand, Joe, but they were eating so much candy, they were because there was so much coming at them. You basically said cocks were coming at your wife's mouth, and she was quickly shoving them in her fucking mouth. That was your analogy, Joe, not my analogy. I did not disrespect your wife. I merely explained what your analogy was for those who have not seen that episode.
With the little pouched out cheeks, oh God.
Well, only if there were cream filled chocolates.
Oh God. If for any reason she's listening, I mean, she used to get pissed off at me when I used to do the co-owner thing.
Uh-huh.
You look like an asshole on Facebook. I go, you don't need my help. I can't kill you, so I gotta do something. I'm a comic, so this is the next best.
Well, there you go. Pip brought that up. Pip brought that up with the unforeseen blowjob reference, and Joe brought it home. Well done, kids.
There you go.
And once again, we're not going to get to this week's outstanding display of spite because there's just not enough time. Because I did not foresee the blowjob tangent. So bad planning by me, perhaps. I don't know. So we will. Wow. All right. We will take our last break and we will come back with some. Where the fuck is what I'm looking for? That's what I want to find.
You said a curse.
I most certainly did. You said your wife blows a lot of people.
No, she just looks like she's eating candy on a conveyor belt.
Which looks like you're blowing a lot of people. Okay, we're gonna take our break. We'll come back with some scamming scammers. On the break, we got new music from Beat Dragons with Earth and After Bliss with Remnants. And you can learn more about the Beat Dragons at khb-music.de and After Bliss at Deuce Music.
There's one thing that unites the three of us on Davin's Den. It's an outstanding...